Holy crap, everybody. It's the biggest edition of the Stunt Granny audio you've ever heard in your life. The gang is all here. I'm Eric. I'm your host for today. With me is fucking everybody involved in this thing. Dusty Giebink, how's it going?
Oh, hello.
Jeremy Mays, talk to us.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, full of Taco Bell. Kevin DeFrango, yeah. You left your list at home, but otherwise, how are you today?
I am feeling peachy keen.
All right. And Jordan, old Scratch Johnson, old dirty bastard Bill Murray, the something or other Smith. How are you today, my friend?
I am fine. I'm watching a bird chase a chipmunk. It's quite entertaining.
Oh, my God. And the squirrels, they were married?
Yeah.
We're going to tackle something unlike anything we've ever tackled before. And part of that involves us actually talking about pro wrestling, probably from beginning to end of this show. Sorry you missed our discussion of sushi earlier before it went on the air. Actually, no one's sorry about that. We, in order to keep a little control of this show and not let it get incredibly chaotic, we're going to do this episode of the Stunt Granny Audio like the famous ESPN show Around the Horn. For those of you who have never seen Around the Horn before, I'm going to take your man card away from you. And that's right, Pat McNeil. You heard what Dusty just said. I don't know why I just said his name. We all know Brian Alvarez is the wiener of this whole crew. Anyway.
I'm going to take you to some cheap Brazilian barbecue.
That's right. I was going to take
a fucking piece of ball with shit.
I was going to take Dave's goddamn grandma there, but
who brings a fucking grandma to a fan meetup?
Actually, if my grandma were on my mom's side were still alive, I would take her because she probably knows more about wrestling than 10 people combined.
My grandma's a legendary drunk, so I'd bring her along. She could outdrink us all. She got 80 beers for her birthday. For instead of a cake, they made her like a cake made of 80 natural ices. She drank them in 3 days.
80?
My Lord.
That's
she's
not 4 foot
50. 10 also.
That's not even sippy time beer. That's coma time beer. Good Lord. Well, nonetheless, maybe that'll be somebody's parting shot. We can continue talking about grandmas and beers as we go on. So the gist of the rules of this show, we're going to go around the horn once when it comes to one topic, and we're going to go around the horn one more time. And we're going to do that for a few topics until it's time to kick somebody off so everyone gets their chance to talk a couple times and even rebut a few points if they want to. And, like I said, we'll just try to have a little bit of order here. God, wouldn't that be incredible? It would be something. Let's start off like I guess we pretty much always do, talking about Monday Night Raw. And I wanted to start off with the fact that Iowa's own Ashton Kutcher was the guest host of this past Monday Night Raw, a male model from Iowa, very much unlike me. He definitely flexed more muscle than recent guest hosts have, as far as he helped make the Miz Bryan Danielson match. And this comes after the mandate that guest hosts wouldn't have that sort of matchmaking ability. He obviously loves professional wrestling. He was also unfortunately responsible in part for the Zack Ryder skit that happened halfway through the show. But I want to get your guys' overall thoughts on Ashton Kutcher as the guest host. And Dusty, if you want to kick it off.
All right, well, I don't know why I should even be talking about him because he didn't bother to show up for the show. All of his footage was on film stock, so I'm going to talk about Taco Bell that was mentioned earlier. I don't know if you had some, Jeremy, because I just had some, too. I had fucking a volcano burrito, and that's
okay.
A pretty good value, man. It's like $3 for a volcano burrito. Not a bad value. You get a good cheap meal at Taco Bell, even if they don't have the $5 boxes anymore, the Charles Barkley's.
$5 box. It rocks. Jeremy, what did you have at Taco Bell?
Yeah, I had the volcano burrito as well. It's not too bad. But here's my thing. All right, I'll actually say something about Ashton Kutcher. He's a cunt. He couldn't even show up. Fuck him. Those skits were awful. Going back to Taco Bell, I had that, and then I had a cheesy gordita crunch, which is really good with the fire sauce. The only problem is those dumb fuckers kept me in line for almost 25-30 minutes in the inescapable drive-thru. It's embarrassing. Much like Ashton Kutcher. See, I'm working it back around the wrestling.
There you go. Kevin, talk to me about how embarrassing Ashton Kutcher was.
It was pretty train wreck awful. I don't know. There really isn't much to say about that. Other than the fact that the volcano burrito is not very hot at all. Like, it has no heat to it. It's just such a bunch of bullshit. It should be named the Dormant Volcano or something like that, or Crater Lake. I don't know what the fuck. It is a completely... And you know what? Speaking of Crater Lake, yeah, that's what Ashton Kutcher created for the guest host role.
Jordan, what was the last thing you had when you went out to eat?
Let's see. I went to a place called Lockdown in Chicago, which is like a prison-themed bar. Wow. And I was gang-raped and then ate a burger. And, yeah, it was tasty, tasty good. It had, like, I think it had apple slices and stuff on it. I haven't eaten at Taco Bell in years. I found a Band-Aid in one of my burritos one time. That was enough for me.
Oh, my God.
Dusty, what's the strangest thing you've ever found in fast food?
Well, luckily I don't look. You know, I expect something shitty, so I don't even look, you know. But going back to Ashton Kutcher, I saw him the other night on Letterman, am I not mistaken? And if I'm not mistaken, he didn't mention wrestling at all during his appearance. He was too busy talking about his fucking Twittering and his Grand Canyon-sized hole of a wife. fuck that douchebag. Fuck your fucking
Crater Lake.
Shut the fuck up and stop making movies.
Jeremy, have you ever had a Grand Canyon of a wife or girlfriend or anything?
Well, that's a loaded question. We'll leave that one alone, actually. And I think what Dusty meant by Grand Canyon of a wife was her vagina is a giant Grand Canyon.
The size of her vagina is Grand Canyon-esque.
Yeah, that's what he meant to say, but he was being too polite about it. But going back to Ashton Kutcher, you said he clearly loves wrestling. I would like that explained because he couldn't bother to show up. Where was Raw? It was in Cleveland, right? No. Or Toledo? Right? One of the two? Or
no,
something
Toledo
like that.
Was week four.
Okay. Well, anyways, wherever it was, I'm sure WWE offered to fly him out there. He's their fucking guest host. And he doesn't have the courtesy to do it. And then overacts like he always does. And you mentioned Twittering, Dusty. Yeah, I don't... The guy's success is all based off of that for some reason now.
Kevin, what's do you think it was a case of his own ego, or maybe the writers had no idea what to do with him, or his schedule? Why do you think he just stayed backstage the whole time?
Well, the writers do have no clue, and I don't know how much input any of these guest hosts get, because, what is it? Well, has there been even a successful skit yet? Like, I don't think there has been with involving the backstage guests. So, I don't know. I don't think they get much input. So even when someone as funny as Dr. Ken cannot make a funny skit out of Raw, then they are screwed when they get stuck with Ashton Kutcher.
Good point. Jordan, have you eaten a Band-Aid in the last 2 minutes?
No, I have not. Okay. Actually, I think part of the reason they did the backstage stuff is that fucker just tweets all the time, and he does videos like that in that quality, like, constantly. So I think they were trying to keep it hip and edgy and trying to – they're totally on the Twitter bandwagon right now. So in that, like, aspect, I don't think it was the worst guest host they could have possibly had. The rating was high because that dude was tweeting about it, and his 5 million followers or whatever were – I don't know. I bet you some of them tuned in because they wanted to see his beautiful mangina. So.
Yeah, they better hope so. All right, I'm already going to break the rules and go around the horn one more time. Dusty, what did you think of Zack Ryder, A, getting the rub from Ashton Kutcher, and B, just being featured on Monday Night Raw this week?
What did I think about that? I think I've got a mangina! I'm old Greg!
Bailey.
Jeremy, what did you think of Zack Ryder getting some FaceTime?
All right, first, he didn't get a rub from Ashton Kutcher. Now, if Ashton Kutcher was rubbing him off, that would have been an actually more entertaining skit than anything they put on that show.
Bring Matilda out there.
I don't see how Zack Ryder came out looking any better.
I thought you were going inside. I need you to go inside.
Kevin, what do you think?
I don't know why they are they just going to get – I liked the valet gimmick with him. Like, people hated that about him, is that he still got the hot chick.
Yeah.
And they took – I mean, did they permanently take that away just because she collected the money this week, or is she going to be back with him next week?
Right. That, of course, is the whole point of Tool Academy and other books about how hot chicks deal with douchebags.
Yep.
Jordan, what do you think? Zack Ryder, good showing, bad showing?
Regular showing. I don't know. I mean, I don't quite get what he's supposed to be. I mean, the original Long Island Guido thing or whatever, but then it just sort of, that skit just went on and on and on and on and on for, so Alicia Fox could kick him sort of in the back.
Yeah, I think it's just another case of douchebag WWE writers getting their hands on something that they're not smart enough to follow up on. They don't understand what a Guido is. They probably don't even fucking know what Long Island is. And,
no.
Yeah,
and
they have nothing whatsoever to do with it.
And once the woo-woo-woo started getting over, they told them to tone it down, so.
Right. What a bunch of dicks because they don't get it.
Yeah, we don't want to draw too much money.
Yeah. Please, put your pocketbooks away, people. Another guy who got some FaceTime this week, Evan Bourne, he was getting his ass kicked in the middle of the ring at the beginning of the show and managed to get the pinfall at the end of the show in the main event. He's our boy from St. Louis. He's my favorite pro wrestler who openly likes Alkaline Trio. And, yeah, he had a chance to shine. He was even handpicked by John Cena to be his tag team partner in the main event. Jeremy, I'm going to start with you. Is this the beginning of a push for Evan Bourne, or is he just going to get squashed by Sheamus or Edge next week?
All right. I don't think it's actually going to be a push because I don't think they expected the reaction to be as well-received. I mean, or not well-received, but I don't think they expected that reaction with the crowd receiving him and actually accepting him. When it comes to his involvement, though, I loved every bit of it. There was finally some sort of energy and spark instead of all the big lumbering, you know, Cena, Orton, Edge, Sheamus. I mean, he looked different. He didn't seem to be out of place at all. And then having Cena basically give him credit at the end, I mean, that's great. And it was about time something fun actually happened.
Kevin, what do you think?
I was completely pumped about that. And I don't know. I mean, they could really build him into the Rey Mysterio of Raw if they want to. But I never hold my breath on anyone below, I should even say below 222, which is CM Punk's weight, because I really didn't even expect CM Punk to do this well, because I thought he was too small for the WWE, honestly. So I'm going to wait and see with this one, because I don't trust those bitches. He weighs way too little to be a star.
Yeah, I think a lot of people probably feel that way. Jordan, what about the energy that he brought to the Monday Night Raw main event? Do you think it was needed?
Yeah, it was definitely needed. It was a completely different. It wasn't the same four guys that are always in the freaking main event. I mean, three of them were the same, but at least with him, I like the way they opened Raw instead of the general 15-minute blah, 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 blah. It was him getting his ass kicked right away and not getting totally squashed either. And so, yep, it was. I mean, I like the energy. I don't hold out much hope that they're going to continue to push him, because they've teased with him like three different times, and then they'll remember in 2 weeks that he's short and small, and they'll forget about him.
Dusty, is it time to push the cruiserweights?
It's time to push Evan Bourne.
Why do you say that?
He absolutely is my favorite wrestler right now, and I've been itching for this for months. Some kind of push. He's young, he's good looking, he's exciting to watch, he's got charisma, he can talk, he can wrestle, he's something different than the interchangeable head that they always push. Come on, he's brilliant in every single way. I mean, I got, seriously, like a man crush on him, and he could really draw a bunch of money, and they're just failing every step of the way. So am I excited about this? No, because I expect them to ruin it.
Terrible. That, you're probably right, though. Jeremy, any rebuttal to the attributes that Dusty just listed that are positives for Evan Bourne?
No, but I swear he's reading off my sheet. That was the exact point I was going to bring up next is, this is the guy, and Kevin too, that they can actually market to the kids. He's got a clean look. He's not full of tattoos. He's always smiling. I mean, he's pretty much like the clean-cut suburban kid. And just like Dusty said, he's fresh. He's not one of the interchangeable heads. He's pretty much everything they can use. And especially if they're creating another animated series, that he would be like a little underdog character on the show.
I mean, there you go.
So, and something you can market and sell your dolls and T-shirts and all that crap with. So
yeah, he looks like an anime character. I think they've made him into an anime character for some like web cartoon anyway. Jordan, any more thoughts on this?
Yeah, basically, to me, he could be like, there, like it was already mentioned, Rey Mysterio, but he can also be their Jeff Hardy without the meth face. So he can totally go to the top rope, get people, they could continue to get over that for the shooting star, then people start standing up the second he heads up there, because it's like Hardy. They knew what was coming, and they liked watching that. They just, and his promos, even though they aren't as good, still make more sense than anything Jeff Hardy's ever said. So,
Dusty, does Vince McMahon care about the people? They react to Evan Bourne. Does he give a shit?
Absolutely not. He does not care about the people. He's got a, everybody knows he's got a bodybuilding fetish. I mean, you can say, oh, Sheamus is Triple H's friend, but if he was Triple H's friend and he was 5'7" and 150 pounds, he wouldn't have got pushed. So,
I fear to say, I'm sure you're right. And fuck Johnny Ace while we're at it, too. That dirty son of a bitch.
Fuck that fucking prick.
Not everybody
is. And
that
saber-toothed motherfucker Kevin Dunn while we're at it.
Yep. I hate your guts.
Oh, glory, I hate you.
Put your hands on the radio. Oh, my goodness. Well, we can try to get our hopes up about Evan Bourne, or we can't. But there are a few other wrestlers who had showings. I'm not going to say good, bad, or decent showings. I'll leave that up to you guys. On Monday Night Raw this last week, a lot has been made out of United States champion R-Truth being the guy who gets to carry the belt and gets to carry this mid-card babyface position. He pinned Chris Jericho, while that potentially still means something.
Jericho,
I guess
never does a job to anybody.
That seems like it. Let's see. I actually have a two-part question, actually. And Kevin, I want to start with you. Is Chris Jericho Teflon?
Oh, yeah, he's Teflon. Yeah, I mean, he'll get people all pissed off at him again, and plus he'll move on to someone that's higher up on the food chain than R-Truth anyway, I would have to imagine. So why not? And plus, God only knows, I know this is semi-off topic, but he might be gone for a little bit of time filming that reality show or whatever the fuck he's doing.
Oh, the game show Downfall, where shit's going to fall off a conveyor belt.
Yep.
Yeah.
That sounds awesome. Jordan?
Yeah, no, I think Jericho is, I mean, so many guys are bulletproof now. So many of those main eventer guys, really, would it matter if Cena lost? No. Does it matter if Jericho loses? No. How many times did Jericho leave Raw and come back? Did any of that matter? No. It was his last Raw ever for 7 consecutive weeks. So he's pretty Teflon. And
yeah,
I like that he did a clean pin for R-Truth.
Yeah, and Dusty, you were saying he rarely does jobs. I guess is now the time for him to start doing them?
Well, if you listen to Wade, he never does jobs. He doesn't put over anybody. That couldn't possibly be because Wade has an agenda against him or anything.
Oh, no. He put over Heath Slater, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, no, he'll put over anybody. And the bottom line is that he's at a point in his career where him losing means absolutely nothing, but beating him means a lot. He's like the perfect guy. Triple H is another example, but he's not going to happen, of guy, you know, losing means nothing. It's like the Ric Flair thing. Ric Flair lost all the time when I was growing up. You know, the only time he won a match was to win the title. And he was losing right back. So
he literally only won 16 matches in his career.
Right, yeah. Basically, that's how I remember it anyway. He only won like 16 times in his life, you know?
Jeremy, does this devalue Chris Jericho at all in your eyes?
No, the only difference between Dusty's example of Triple H and Chris Jericho is Chris Jericho will sell a loss. I mean, you saw it after he lost to R-Truth. But if Triple H lost, it would be the next week he'd just be out there making fun of the guy and basically blowing him off and saying, you know, it was a fluke, blah, blah, blah. I fully expect next week Jericho to come out and be like, I can't believe I lost to R-Truth, but not in, like, a demeaning way. Although, if he did say that, that'd be fine because I was shocked saying, I can't believe he just jobbed for this nobody.
Oh, my Lord.
That brings me to my next point.
We are not recording in one space.
Kevin, is R-Truth the right man for this job?
No.
Yeah, because the
of course.
Whatever.
Kevin got a hard on for Black Hawk. Go ahead.
Whatever belt he holds means absolutely fucking nothing. So, you know what he's going to amount to? Absolutely nothing. He'll keep the fans entertained, but they'll keep him out of the main event picture where they want their real stars.
Jordan?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're on their kick right now to get the black wrestlers over more, which is fine because they definitely need to do it because look at any other sport and how many – the ratio of white to black and how and wrestling – yeah, so, I mean, I think they're doing it. They're going to push him like they did when he first came in, and then I'm sure in about 2 weeks they'll forget about him, and he'll lose the whatever belt to whomever that no one else will care about. So,
Dusty, I'll make it a two-parter for you then. Bill Watts said the same thing in a shoot interview with Jim Cornette, that that black athletes, generally speaking, are better than white athletes, and why isn't it the same way in pro wrestling? So, basing off of that, is R-Truth the right man for this position?
Yeah, no. What I remember what he said was it's a neon flashing sign that wrestling is fake. And mm-hmm. while people are watching wrestling, they shouldn't be reminded that it's fake. They should be able to get into it and believe in it. And no, R-Truth is not the right person. He's a wheezing chain smoker. It's not at all believable that he'd be on top. Instead of guys like Shelton Benjamin and even like Mark Henry, who you could believably see whipping all these guys because he's so, you know, in theory, strong. There's a lot better candidates. MVP should be the guy in that spot.
Sure. Jeremy.
Yeah, first, I was trying to come up with something to goof on Jordan about them saying they were pushing black guys because of the eight they have, they only pushed two of them, and the rest of them are like either comedy fodder or Shad and JTG. So, I understand what you're getting at, but I don't think they're actually trying to push them. It's just, all right, there's these two guys. Let's do something with them. I mean, and I know what Kevin's getting at with me with the R-Truth thing. I understand the guy's over because he's a cartoon character, basically, a big clown. I don't understand anything about R-Truth that's appealing right now. So, I didn't even answer the question. I understand that. I don't care.
No, you're perfectly in your right to do that because it's hard to figure out what the fuck the deal is with R-Truth.
Mm-hmm.
He raps and he says, what's up, and the people react to it, but that's because people are sheep and Pavlovian, and of course people are going to react to that. So he's not.
Dusty nailed the coffin with the smoking wheezy guy, too. It's getting worse by the week. Batista's got to run for his money now.
Well, a slow walk for his money. all right, let's go once around for this one. Ted DiBiase was out there, but he only talked for about 30 seconds or so. Couldn't convince Bret Hart to sell Monday Night Raw to him for 1 week. Fucking stupid. But does Ted DiBiase deserve better than this, or does he even have the promise to warrant this type of push? Kevin, we're back to you.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, sure. No. He doesn't deserve shit right now. He needs to get someone other than the old Virgil, although the old Virgil keeps on cracking me up for some reason or another. But he needs to get some wins behind him before they start doing anything like that.
Before he starts getting the supposed rub. I keep using that word, but maybe he doesn't deserve anything from Bret Hart. Jordan, Ted DiBiase, do you like where he's at right now? Does he deserve this?
Well, I don't know where he's at right now. All of a sudden, 1 week, he is now, even though he hated his dad, he's suddenly his father's son and given the gold, you know, the $1 million belt. And then he's looking for a Virgil, and then suddenly he finds the Virgil who in his wife beater and his wrestling superstar shorts. So I don't know. I don't see anything in him. He's really boring. I thought Cody Rhodes was more entertaining of the two. He's blonde and tall, just like a certain skateboarding booker. So.
That's right. Johnny fucking Ace.
He
does
surfboards and skates just like all the young kids do.
Does Virgil need to come back with the sequin tuxedo, Dusty?
Yes, absolutely.
What do you think of DiBiase, though?
I think it's impossible to tell with DiBiase. I mean, they let him talk for a while when he first started out, and then they pulled way back on that. They really haven't given him a chance to do anything. So, like, honestly, I don't know with him. I don't know what to say about him. He's one of the interchangeable heads, and he hasn't shown much in terms of ring work. And if you're going to try to find a Virgil, why the fuck not Ezekiel Jackson?
Thank you. Hell yes. I love that. Jeremy, what do you think of the 6'3", 250-pound blonde, know-nothing fucking Ted DiBiase?
All right, well, first, got to remember, Ezekiel Jackson's hurt. So there's still a possibility, because I was looking at WWE's website, and old man Virgil's nowhere to be found. So that perfect idea is still out there, although I still like the idea of Michael Tarver being the new Virgil. It bring a certain edge to it. But with DiBiase, yeah, I'm kind of boring, but I'm with everybody else.
Adam Copeland would bring a certain edge to it, too.
Who would? Wait.
Who's that again, Dusty?
Yeah.
Adam Copeland?
Adam Copeland.
I see what you did there.
Gotcha. Yeah,
yeah,
well,
but when it comes to DiBiase, it doesn't really matter right now. I mean, he's in the mid card. They're trying to push him, but then they have him job to R-Truth on pay-per-view.
Yeah.
And then he disappears for a week, comes back with Virgil still, who, yes, should be wearing the sequin vest. Nothing they've done with him makes sense. They put him in the Marine 2, which was an obvious bomb, even on DVD. And I seriously thought, Jordan, that you said that you meant Virgil was clearly the more entertaining of the two, which actually is exactly correct, because he is.
No, that's what I meant, yeah.
Okay, so I thought you meant between Cody Rhodes and DiBiase.
Oh, well, like, okay. Well, Virgil's the more entertaining of that one, too.
Yeah, well, it's good to know that it's good to know that a guy who couldn't fucking draw one person to his autograph line is more entertaining than the guy that he's playing the valet for on Monday Night Raw.
Him to bring that boot table with him wherever he goes, just sit in front of it with the banner behind him.
They
even
should
in
be
the
playing
ring.
That gimmick up, definitely. Oh, well. All right, one other person I wanted to bring up, Santino Marella. Of course, we all know how funny he is. We know he's been trying to woo Vladimir Kozlov into a tag team, and it looks like it worked. Is there anything that Santino could possibly do wrong? He gets pops that more than half of the roster would be jealous of. Kevin, talk to me about Santino. He comes out there for these goofy skids and still is over like gangbusters.
I always want him to have just like a hint of credibility in the ring, and just he's still going at it. Like, you know, he has less in-ring credibility than R-Truth, and for some reason he's just as over as R-Truth. So maybe there's something to that. Maybe they just need to hire people that don't know how to fucking wrestle whatsoever, or pull out the Cobra. Man, fuck, pay me. I'll do it.
Jordan, what do you think of Santino pulling out his Cobra?
No, I think Santino, I mean, Santino's god awful in the ring, and they know that too. If they think he's god awful, then they'll just, you know, keep him. But I like him as he could totally manage some like incompetent. He'd be like Harvey Whippleman with some kind of actual talent. Some small guy who brings in a bunch of goofs to try to do stuff, and I don't know. He would be a good little faction, either heel or face. Probably heel, because why would you have a face faction? But, yeah. So,
Dusty, what do you make of this goofy guy with no tangible skill, at least according to the first two guys you talked about this?
He's absolutely horrible in every way besides being funny. But who is he funny, you know? And even when they write just terrible shit for him, that's my Jeremy impersonation, by the way.
I know. I figured that one out quick. Oh, yeah?
Shut up! God!
That's him. Dummy.
There you go.
God. Stupid. Jeremy.
Is it really my turn? Or are we doing the fake Jeremy?
Yeah, no, now it's your turn. Now it's the real Jeremy.
Okay. All right. Santino, it's the same thing. Santino's funny, and that's it. I think the real thing we should be talking about in this segment is how Eve has become like almost as hot as Maryse has.
Yes.
Yeah, how'd that happen?
Yes.
Yeah, it's just overnight she suddenly got thick in all the right places.
She's been sneaking up on me. Ever since she learned how to wrestle, I think she's become hotter to me.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we got enough sausage involved in this show. Let's talk about some chicks for a while. And
yeah, good point.
Yeah, I mean, but yeah, she came out, and Maryse has to lose those awful extensions because her body's still smoking. But yeah, Eve came out, and it was like her legs are bigger and that butt's popping out. I was like, Jesus Christ. Like, look at that. Where the hell did she come from? So, and to be honest, when Santino Marella said something about Vladimir Kozlov making love to her, I got kind of a tingle. So
yeah, that was pretty funny. And I'm going to defer to Dusty on this one as the main OVW watcher here of this group. This might be leading into that rumored sitcom with Santino Marella and Vladimir Kozlov and Beth Phoenix. Let's talk about Beth Phoenix for 30 seconds, Dusty. Is she hot? Is she not?
I think she's hot.
Mm-hmm.
I got no
talented?
Problem with her. I can get it up for her any day. No problem.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there you go. There's your tits and ass quota for this episode.
I don't know. We're going to talk about Beth Phoenix. We got plenty of time for that if we want to talk about that for a while.
Yeah, I got plenty of time for her, too. Well, unfortunately, the next topic of conversation, though, is one other person who showed up on Monday Night Raw. This time, after a 2-month absence, Vince McMahon came back. After promising the end of the Mr. McMahon character, Vince and company brings back the evil mastermind only 2 months after WrestleMania 26. Jordan, doesn't Vince always seem so much more refreshed and energized after taking some time off?
Yeah, he seems to, like, I don't know. He came in and he had the strut was in full force and the shit-eating grin. And I don't know if it's the wet poodle that is Bret Hart in the ring that made him look even more like $1 million or what. But he just came in and the crowd eats that shit up. I just didn't want to see him again. And then they kept talking about their WrestleMania match and the match I never want to ever think about ever again. And so I don't know. I don't quite know what the point of it was. I'm sure it'll reveal itself at some point, but talking about it now.
Dusty, any ideas what the point of it was, not to mention your interest in seeing Mr. McMahon back even for a week?
Well, it just proves my theory that every wrestler should have a mandatory 3 months off.
Oh, and by the way, I don't eat meat anymore.
No, I mean, it's kind of old, but he's still, like, the best performer on the roster, no matter who they have at any time.
Mm-hmm.
No matter who they're pushing and who's good at the time, McMahon is always still better than them. And as long as that's true, then I don't really see a problem in using him as long as they don't overuse him. And I also think that we should get the structure off of him before it falls more.
Nice. Jeremy, go ahead.
I'm going to disagree with him coming out of the heel. I think he started playing the tweener role. Because the evil McMahon character, I mean, the entire point of that WrestleMania match was to get him over. Was to get sympathy put on McMahon, and it didn't work because it put the crowd to sleep. So I just get the feeling when he came out Monday, that was the start of he's going to toe the line in the middle, and it didn't happen. But I wouldn't be surprised if sooner or later he shows up on SmackDown and goes, what's all this bullshit with Drew McIntyre? I haven't done any of this stuff. And then he gets on Teddy Long's case for being stupid and not calling his office ahead of time and being like, wait a minute, you sent this over. Something like that. But no, Dusty's right, though. When he shows up, that music hits, you know something's about to happen, and he didn't disappoint again. And yes, it is the wet poodle in the ring that caused that segment to suck bad.
There you go. All right. Oh, and by the way, quickly, I have a correction for Jason Powell at ProWrestling.net. Bret Hart was not smirking the entire time through that promo. That's just the way he always looks these days.
Right.
Yeah, I know.
Damn it.
All right. Well, anyway.
Joke, fucker.
Well, and somebody's got to remind him to actually talk into the microphone, because whenever he talks, the microphone's in the middle of his chest, so
right.
He can barely hear a word he says.
Yeah, whereas Vince is like, did you get it all out of your system? And Bret says, no.
Yeah.
Speak up, asshole.
No.
Well, unfortunately, we have to do this, like, around the horn. We've gotten done with our topics concerning Monday Night Raw. And as happens every edition of Around the Horn, somebody's got to get cut at the end of the first round. And I'm looking over my tally, and it has nothing to do with seniority, but Jordan, I'm afraid the guy is at the end of this first round. What a jip. Do you have any sort of parting shot? I was going to ask you about the announcement of the three-hour super show happening next week. It's a question that seems to come up more often lately than ever. Why even bother continuing the brand split?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't understand what they're doing. I don't get the point of continuing to have one mega super brand and one just kind of weak, pathetic, double fucking stupid. I don't know. I don't even know who's over there left. Jack Swagger, that's about it.
Yeah.
So.
Oh,
all right, well, I'm getting the hell out of here. I'll leave you guys, you professionals, to your business.
That's stupid.
Yep.
I don't know where he sees any professional right here. All right. So
I do like the fact he actually did log off.
We make professional dick jokes.
There you go. Definitely.
Jordan, are you there? Did he seriously leave?
Yeah, he did. That was the beep of him leaving.
I figured he would have just stayed around just to hear the hilarity.
Right, no. Sorry, pal. You're going to have to listen to it once we post the show. All right. Well, let's move on to... Well, okay, Tuesday's offering, WWE's offering on Tuesday. NXT finally ended, putting us out of our misery. Wade Barrett wins NXT Season 1, and Dusty, of the eight rookies, is Wade Barrett the best man for this job?
I mean, yeah, we've talked about, I think me and Jeremy talked about this. Like, obviously, from a wrestling standpoint, Danielson should have won. But we knew he wasn't. They were doing that storyline with him. Out of everyone else, absolutely Wade Barrett was the most deserving one. And he got a hell of a promo, too, to boot on that
show.
Yes,
he did, which counts for a lot in WWE land. Jeremy, Wade Barrett, the right man?
Oh, yeah, I didn't think there was any question about that. When Danielson went out, then it became clear storyline perspective. But... He has the basic set that you need to get by in WWE. But on top of that, when they had supposedly a live mic with him and Otunga, he made Otunga, the guy that has supposed charisma, look like a fucking idiot. I'm not going to step on toes, but all he did was make teeth jokes about the English, where Barrett just looked at him and basically just said, hey, pick up your punk card.
Yeah, there you go, Kevin. Wade Barrett.
Punk card, yes, I am picking it up, and, the other two were right, there was not much, I can't even think, Gabriel was, I think he was better in the ring, they really narrowed him down to more of a one-trick pony, and I'm like, yeah, he has a great finisher, but I thought that his moves in the ring were, you know, they're getting towards the, Evan Bourne crispness factor there, even though he does a lot of kicks. So, I mean, I think he kind of got pigeonholed a little bit. Yeah, he doesn't have much in the mic skill department. And then Otunga, Lord, I think his last match was actually his best match, or maybe it was the week before.
Well, the fact that it took him 15 weeks to have a best match is kind of pathetic.
Yeah,
Dusty,
exactly.
Dusty, if I had to put you on the spot, what do you envision the career path of Wade Barrett being, say, for the next 6 months to a year?
Well, you know, it's hard to say that with that little amount of time, because they usually do a thing where they'll dangle him out there a little bit, and then they'll pull back and push him for a long period of time before throwing him back out there and actually pushing him. So in that short amount of time, you might not see him do much, but 3 years down the road, he might be the champion.
Sure. Jeremy, what do you think?
Well, I just messaged Dusty, damn you, because he basically said exactly what I was going to say. To add something, Chris Masters better be watching his back because he's not needed anymore. And not to compare physiques, because that's not what I'm getting at, but if you're going to put Wade Barrett on, and it's clear he'll go to Raw, because I can't see him putting him on SmackDown for whatever reason. But no, it's going to be the classic push, 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 all right, pull him back for a while, and then, yeah, they're going to shoot him up, and this, I don't know, ostentatious, but he will be a WrestleMania main eventer. That's how much faith I actually have in that guy. Especially now, I mean, he can talk. He can show he can do the old school promos, and he was good at it. So
Kevin, do you see the same promise in Wade Barrett?
Well, the one thing that I was almost disappointed in was the fact that he didn't pick what belt he was going to go after.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
At the pay-per-view. I was like, oh, that kind of sucks. I mean, I guess he doesn't need to make a decision, but, yeah, like, if they want anybody to watch it, and, I mean, as much as I still even like SmackDown for CM Punk-related purposes, or, well, how can I leave out Serena and that whole thing? But, yeah, like, if he moves to some SmackDown belt, he's pretty much screwed, honestly. Unless they decide to put him in, and I haven't looked at the spoilers at all, unless they decide to throw him into the Fatal 4-Way match since Taker's banged up.
Right, well, I'll spoil it for you, they don't. But yeah, actually going back to that dipshit R-Truth, maybe Wade Barrett needs to challenge R-Truth for the U.S. title as soon as possible and get that fucking belt off him.
But wouldn't that be a total bitch move, though? I mean, you get to be on a pay-per-view. Wouldn't you, your very first title match, I mean, you get a title match. Why the hell would you settle for that or Kofi Kingston, you know? You have to go after one of the top belts. And I also wonder if they're going to make it like the Money in the Bank match, where he goes, oh, you know what? If I mean, pull an Edge or CM Punk, whatever you want. After one's over, he comes out and goes, I'm cashing in my championship match on pay-per-view, and this is a pay-per-view.
That'd be pretty badass.
Yeah, well, he'd probably be the first guy to lose that way, but, you know, whatever. So.
All right, let's go around once for each of these other guys then. David Otunga, the last person officially cut. WWE spent a lot of time talking up his Hollywood connections and Jennifer Hudson or whatever other fat broad he's married to. Dusty, is he worth bringing back? Is he worth a shit at all?
Well, I read somebody, and I won't put him over by telling them their name, but they used to be on the Torch board and you used to hate him, said that Otunga was clearly the best one, and I just don't see it. He got the floor wiped on him by Barrett in that promo, and...
Mm-hmm.
If you can't cut it in promo world, then what use does WWE have for you? And, I mean, he's green besides, and I don't know, you know. Again, he's one that really needs an OVW, and there isn't.
Yeah. He really needs a Jim Cornette, maybe even a Kenny Bolin. Jeremy, what do you think? David Otunga, any future in this doofus?
Yeah, there's a definite future because of who he's married to. Even though William Regal nailed it, saying, you know, you're here because of who you're married to, and what you're married to isn't a lot. But no, Otunga's fine. I mean, I actually agreed with what he said, that he can be taught the wrestling part, but he's got the charisma down. He's got a look. He carries himself well, but unfortunately the two tangibles for him are he doesn't talk on the fly very well, and you've said it yourself, that when he hosted Raw, there was a script, and that was it. There's a promise there. It's a small one, mid-card to upper mid, but that's it. And
Kevin,
I don't think it's anytime soon.
Kevin, what do you think?
You know, the one thing that I would think helps him in the ring would also get him into that land that I talked about earlier of not being big enough. Like, he is way too bulky for how tall he is. Because, I mean, he was clearly shorter than Wade Barrett, who I think they said was 6'4".
Yeah,
I mean,
David Otunga is short in stature. It's weird.
Yeah, so, like, I think his in-ring work would be helped out if he lost some of that bulk, but then the WWE is going to be like, oh, fuck, this isn't a big guy anymore, even if he was still as ripped as he is, which is bizarre to me, but, you know, that's the world that they live in. So, you know, I'm just playing in it.
Well, there's a big, bulky guy who's fucking 4.5 feet tall. Dusty, what about a smaller guy? Justin Gabriel also cut this last week, clearly more talented than David Otunga in the ring. Do you foresee him coming back to WWE in the future?
Certainly. I think that they're going to bring back about half of them, and I think Gabriel is definitely one that they will bring back and use in some capacity. for how long, I don't know. You know, maybe he'll go the way of the Spirit Squad guys, or maybe he will be Dolph Ziggler. Who knows?
There you go. Jeremy, what do you think? Justin Gabriel?
Yeah, I think he's more of the Dolph Ziggler type. He'll be back around. I think the girls like him way too much. And I think he got the raw end. I think it was Kevin that said it, that they pigeonholed him for no reason. He had more moves, and he wasn't that horrible on the mic. I mean, sure, David Otunga talked a bunch, but he didn't say anything. So when they had the voting, I was honestly surprised Otunga was second, and they didn't have a face, you know, heel matchup for the final two spots.
Right.
Gabriel will be back. I wouldn't be surprised if he's not back in a few months to fill a void, because they paired him with He Will Not Die, Matt Hardy, and which was absolutely embarrassing at the end when it was clearly rehearsed. But he can fill the Jeff Hardy spot. Not obviously that popular right away, but
right.
Hardy couldn't talk at all. He had flash. And then look what happened to him at the end. And I don't mean the drugs and all that.
Kevin, what do you think? Justin Gabriel.
Yeah, I could repeat what I said, you know, a couple of two, 3 minutes ago, but I'm not
right.
going to. I really, hi, Kiki. Sorry,
oh
my
God.
Dog just, like, jumped on me when I was on the bed.
Oh, God. Time for Kevin to go.
I was wondering what Waikiki and Hubble Bob had to do with anything. Well, since you're not going to repeat yourself in 30 seconds, just ran out. You might want to kick your dog out of the room. let's move on from this fucking loser, Justin Gabriel, who's going to be back in 6 months in a tag team with somebody, probably, if they're smart.
I just need to find my peanut butter that I left in here.
Don't forget the oven, man.
Peanut butter. Okay. The other big news that came from NXT is the announcement of the new pros and rookies. We can go around twice on this, I think. The main things that I wanted to talk about, Percy Watson, even though he's going to be a flamboyant gay guy, hilarious. Alex Riley, a great talent. I saw him in a dark match, thought he was great. Joe Hennig as Michael McGillicuddy. Caval being mentored by two fucking women. Zack Ryder is a pro. The nearly unaccomplished Cody Rhodes is a pro. Dusty, where do we even start?
How about Eli Cottonwood? Eli Whitney invented the cotton gin.
Yeah.
So Eli Cottonwood, right? They have no interest in coming up with money-drawing names. It is a fucking contest to see who can come up with the worst fucking name for these new guys, and fuck them.
Jeremy, what do you think? Marquee for WrestleMania, Stone Cold Steve Austin versus Eli Cottonwood.
Okay, I gotta concentrate here. No, I just found something about Percy Watson. It is one of the fantastic things I've seen in a while. Who are we talking about? Eli Cottonwood?
Yes.
Everybody. We're talking about everybody.
Who is Eli Cottonwood again? I'm trying to find him on the page here.
He's the
7 foot jobber.
Oh, fuck. Who cares?
Cottonwood.
The only reason they gave him the name Cottonwood, besides trying to be clever, is he looks like a hick. He looks like a backwards monster that would be in, like, Wrong Turn or Don't Turn Left at the End of the Street or something. One of those dumb fucking movies.
There you go.
He looks like a goober. He's 7 foot tall. He's a cross between the Great Khali and Matt Hardy, except thinner.
Oh, my God.
It's awful. And he has a horrible name, and he'll be out in the first 2 weeks.
All right, Kevin, initial thoughts on these eight guys?
Oh, yeah. No, Dusty hit it on the head that it was a contest. Like, I couldn't stop laughing. Every time that they name somebody, I'm like, are you fucking serious? And it started, I mean, they started off rip-roaring by naming somebody fucking Husky Harris.
Husky Harris, yes.
I mean,
it's not even just somebody. It's the son of Mike Rotundo and the grandson of fucking Blackjack Mulligan. I mean, you've got 1,000 last names to choose from that the fucking family has used. He could have been a Wyndham. He could have been fucking Kendall. Yeah, even one guy had fucking two names. His dad had three if you count Scheister. Fucking four if you count Captain. You put it
Michael Wall Street.
Fucking Wall Street. Jesus Christ. Fucking Husky Harris. Dusty, keep the ball rolling here.
I can't fucking even believe it. And why would you name somebody different that's a legacy guy?
No
shit.
That's
like a selling point right off the bat. How the fuck can you get that fucking wrong? Out of
Dusty,
all
you got,
the things
you gotta,
you get wrong, how can
Dusty,
you
you've got
to
have
wrong?
An opinion on. You got to have an opinion on Michael McGillicuddy.
No, what was I going to say? Oh, yeah, no, they're putting Loki with the two chicks because they're ripping the internet crowd. That's all that is. And I'm not even going to get worked up about it because it might they're going to, you know.
You're not going to get worked by those assholes. Jeremy, what do you think of that? Two women. Is Cabal going to give up his chair backstage to these two women?
I thought it was actually kind of funny when they came on and they were absolutely, you know, atrocious like they usually are because you got Mom and the vacuum, charisma vacuum. So when I saw them, I was like, what are they doing on? And I thought, honestly, it was going to be a female. They were going to mix it up a little bit. So when they said Cabal, I shot up. I was like, cool, because, you know, Loki gets to come on TV finally. But then it kind of set in. I'm like, wait a minute. Those two bitches are going to be training him. Layla can't wrestle. And Michelle McCool's supposed to teach him about the it factor. So then I kind of saw the comedy that can be involved in this, which could actually get him over even more. You've got your hard-ass, you know, tweener, heel, whatever they're going to turn him into, dealing with these two bitches. Or they can turn him into a huge face for not killing these two.
Yeah, good point.
I saw it as a positive, actually, which I guess most people didn't. So,
Kevin, what did you think?
That was one of the first things I said to Jeremy on Wednesday. I was like, this pairing is weirdly attractive for me. Like, it does. It's an actual opposites attract kind of a pairing. Where, I mean, The Miz and Daniel Bryan were in some ways, too. So I don't know, you know, whatever. They're not pissing me off. Because their act at this point, Lay Cool, like, they're doing what they're being told to do, if that makes sense. Like, they're playing that part well. I may not like it. I think it's awful, actually, and a horrendous version of the beautiful people. But they're doing as well as they can with their gimmick. So, I don't know. It'll be interesting.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to say the least. All right. I think that pretty much takes care of NXT for what I have written
down. We didn't talk about Percy Watson at all. We ain't moving on yet.
Okay,
are you fucking crazy?
Okay, we're going to stay with the rotation, though. Dusty, what do you make of this guy Percy Watson?
Well, from what I've seen, he's funny. He's got charisma. No chance he's going to win, but hopefully they use him afterwards because I see some great potential in him.
Is he just the next Johnny B. Bad?
He won't make you mad.
He's as pretty as a picture.
I don't know the rest of the world.
He looks just like him. Don't be fooled by his looks. He's got a mean left hook. So if you want his nuts on your chin, fucking mess with him. I can't remember the words.
Maybe he'll shoot the Z-Man with his bad blaster, right, Eric?
And Z-Man will look at me like, yeah? What are you talking about? Oh, my God. Jeremy, it's all yours. Talk about Percy Watson, baby. All
right. I'm gonna send you this link because there's a video on YouTube of the South Beach Boys and FCW. He was a part of a tag team. He was a tag team with Darren Young. I had no idea. I didn't know who the hell. I never heard of Percy Watson until Tuesday. And as soon as he came on the screen, and my gauge now is Elise and Bishop because they don't watch wrestling. Well, they do now. And even Elise was like, who's that guy? And Bishop was laughing at him, which maybe not be the intent. But that guy instantly got eyes in the room on the TV. And especially when he goes, I'm Percy Watson, and I'm here. And it was hilarious.
I gotta
There's
admit,
no
it
way this guy can't
too.
Win.
It worked for me, and the other thing I thought of was, I'm Brian Fellow, the Tracy
yes,
Morgan character.
Yes, that's exactly
it. Live. Kevin, what do you make of Percy Watson so far?
Oh, I love the clearly gay black gentleman, or at least that's the way he seems to present himself, being a ladies' man. It's kind of like the old Saturday Night Live gimmick for, what's his name there?
Tim Meadows, the perennial cast member, the fucking guy who probably still hasn't left yet.
Yep. So, yeah, I don't know. He'll be kind of interested. Oh, and what, he's paired with MVP. So, whatever, he has a good pro. Well, a good pro that WWE does not want to acknowledge, but that's cool.
Well, I just hope
like you, MVP, and MVP is like, I've seen guys like you in jail.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm hoping they don't do. MVP is just like, oh, God, it's a gay black guy, blah, blah, blah. It's like, there's a definite appeal to this Percy Watson guy, even though I was calling him Percy Jackson. But,
and I almost call him Percy Watkins.
Yeah. But the guy got eyes on the TV, and for two people who don't like watching wrestling, or at least they don't like watching TNA, or as they call it, the shitty one, they got eyes instantly on the TV, and that's my barometer right now. So, and it got me to rewind NXT and watch his promo again. So,
all right, okay. Now that we got our Percy Watson, Jesus Christ, he needs to change his name to Percy Watkins to make it easier to say. Now we've said everything that needs to be said about NXT, and by the look of my point tally, and the fact that Kevin's got a hot date tonight, actually, Kevin, I'm afraid you're the one who's going to get cut at the end of this round. I hope you got a parting shot. And if I may lead you into it, I was wondering what you thought about the fact that there was next to no follow-up about the Miz, Michael Cole, Daniel Bryan angle. That even it even included a pinfall victory, Daniel Bryan over the Miz on Monday Night Raw. Was it smart or was it not smart to gloss over this at the end of the first season of NXT?
Well, I'm glad that they didn't, actually, because that would have put way too much emphasis on someone who wasn't technically the winner. I mean, he was clearly the winner in the whole ordeal because he got way more time on TV than Wade Barrett did. But, yeah, it was nice of them to kind of concentrate on the final three there with that whole ordeal. So, with that, I am going to have some sippy time beers and go watch the Celtics play later.
Oh, yeah, buddy. All right. And there were two.
I don't know why that ding sound makes me laugh all the time, but...
It's funny.
Right, can we talk about the non-follow-up for a little bit, just real quick?
Sure.
Because I think Kevin nailed it when he said that it was good that they didn't concentrate on people who weren't on the show other than asking them who they thought would win.
Yep. Dusty, what do you think of that?
Wait, I'm not paying attention. I'm looking for something else. What
are you saying? I don't blame you. No, the fact that they just glossed over the Miz, Daniel Bryan, Michael Cole feud, the last episode of NXT, which it seemed like the entire season was, the whole point was their feud. It wasn't smart to just completely look past it.
No, of course not. But they're doing a slow simmer to the feud now. They're drawing it out. Just like old school.
Yeah, exactly, which they need. They really need to be returning to that. Now that they don't have 1 hour a week to devote to that feud, then yeah, the slow brew is probably smart.
Yeah.
Okay, other news that's happened in the last couple of days. Oh, I'm sorry?
Nothing, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Okay, this is the round where we go back and forth. I think, I don't really remember how they do this on Around the Horn. Do they each just talk once about the topic or twice? Fuck it.
Oh, I don't know.
Maybe I'll just make up the rules as I go. All right, three topics. Best two out of three falls wins, good old wrestling style. The Undertaker is injured. Ah, his orbital bone. It must be frail. He broke it back in November, October, December, whatever the fuck it was, in 1995, and he had to wear what was it, Dusty?
It was a facial appliance.
The facial appliance. He had to wear something that looked like half a skull, and he was hideous. And he, this time around, should have just taken his usual spring vacation, which means the WWE should have balanced out Raw and SmackDown better than they did, because now the perennially injured Rey Mysterio has to stay on the road even though he asked for this month off. Dusty, take it away. Undertaker's injury.
Yeah, they clearly expected Undertaker to carry his end of the bargain and justify making it so lopsided, and then they get repaid for it, of course. You know, karma. Because, yeah, he should have taken the time off. He's like 90 now, and he needs the time off if they're going to keep using him, and he's not going to retire. And I hope he does come back with a facial appliance, because that was badass on him.
You're kind of, I think, yeah, actually it did. It was a little scary when I was 14. Jeremy.
Yeah, the entire reason he got hurt, I'm convinced, is he is so used to being on vacation right now. I think it's been the last two, probably, WrestleManias, to where he's been out of the picture almost immediately, or hurt almost immediately. That causes him to have months at a time off. Because remember, he beat Batista at 23, and then got hurt, tore a bicep or something, was out for the entire summer. Yeah. And then the year after,
at the time too.
Yeah, and then 24, he beat Edge, and then, you know, was gone for a while again because he lost the belt right back to him. The next year after that, he had the match with Shawn Michaels, just disappeared. They didn't even bother explaining. And then this year, he beats Michaels again, isn't on TV, but then they brought him back for to beat up Edge the one night, and then he got put on the shelf again. The guys, what did you say, 900? I'd go with maybe, you know, 100. But he's supposed to be on vacation. He's not supposed to be wrestling, and this wouldn't have happened if they wouldn't have, you know, as you said, stacked the deck in Raw's favor. You put Randy Orton, leave Edge, put Chris Jericho, put anybody over on SmackDown. This doesn't happen. They bring him back in summer just like they always do.
Okay, I have a correction for both of you. Undertaker's actually dead. Okay. Now,
spoiler! Come on, man!
He's actually
back
dead.
Back home in Tampa trying to patch things up with Sarah.
That's right. Since Michelle McCool is all busy with Caval right now. Second bit of random news. Matt Morgan of TNA is said to play a role on Fox's new series, what will likely be a straight-to-DVD movie with Kurt Angle. The man's head is DNA shot into space, kind of like I did when I'd have sex with my ex-girlfriend. He was Beast on American Gladiators. Does it even fucking matter? WWE, if they had someone like this on their roster, would hammer this home. Every week you would see footage of this, and he would look like a larger-than-life superstar. Instead, he looks like some trash bag walking around a flea market. Jeremy, does it even matter that Matt Morgan has anything going on in his life?
No, because I actually did some research on this Good Guys show. When it first premiered back on May 19th, it got a 1.5 rating on Fox.
Ouch.
So this series isn't going to be on very long. So that doesn't matter. Why would you promote that? It's got Brantley Whitfield. Is that his fucking name? Bradley Whitfield, the dude from what's that one show about the West Wing? And then it's got Tom Hanks' kid, you know, from Orange County, Glory Days. No one wants to watch this show, so putting Matt Morgan on it's typical TNA stuff. And I would love to think that, you know, Matt Morgan did this on his own, trying to further his own career. But I'm sure TNA had something to do with this, going, this is going to work, this is going to work. It's like putting him on the last episode of Lost in the background and going, this is how your career is going to start. The show fucking ended. What are you talking about? And that's exactly what this is. So they shouldn't promote it at all because it won't be on long.
Dusty, you're a big Matt Morgan fan. First of all, do you think he's worth this type of exposure? And second of all, talk shit about TNA.
No, absolutely does. He should be a big star at this point. But just like everything with TNA, it doesn't matter. Nothing gets over. Nobody gets over. Nothing means anything. Nobody's going to remember that he's on The Good Guys. Nobody's going to remember that he's on a movie with the killer clown guy. probably is a pedophile. It doesn't matter. Oops.
No, you're absolutely right. Pretty much based on where he is in his career, the fucking terrible ass company that he works for.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Last but not least, there's a note on ProWrestling.net that Jake the Snake Roberts was interviewed. He was quoted saying that the Ultimate Warrior, makes sense, and Davey Boy Smith were both shitty workers. He also says that Cowboy Bill Watts had no idea what he was doing while he was in charge of WCW, and added that taking away Jake Snake was just a matter of Cowboy Bill Watts trying to best Vince McMahon. He also claims that he has two new DVDs coming out, one of which is a DVD of Campfire Tales, he and two friends sitting around a fire telling road stories. Dusty, will Jake be drunk, really drunk, or hospital drunk?
He might not be drunk because he might be high.
Oh.
Not to waffle, but, you know, he might go straight to the alley and get himself something, you know, just something smokable. but to paraphrase Bill Watts, I'd like to piss on his grave, but there'd be too big of a line.
Very nice. Jeremy.
Big Snake is aptly named. He is a snake. He's a shit.
That's right.
Is it really worth talking about a guy that I thought was dead anyways? It's to the point with Jake the Snake now where it's not even a cry for help, but it's a yell for attention.
Yeah.
I would actually watch him. If he's by a fire, I would watch that video just to see if he fell in, knowing damn well he's not going to fall in and die.
That's right.
That's the only entertaining aspect of what that man has to say. And regardless of his birth, whatever.
Anyway, it'd be like Jake the Flambe Roberts.
Yeah, I mean, he gets near it. It's going to be like a fire trail, you know, just follows the fumes straight into his dumb, bald, fat head. And, you know, actually, if his mustache caught on fire because of that, I would watch that.
That's right.
To see a little flame going across the front.
The trick is that he sucked his mustache dry of all possible alcohol anyway. All right, one quick thing before I cut the last person. For the record, you said that the Good Guys got a rating of 1.5 on Fox.
Yep.
The XFL was actually canceled from NBC because of its disastrous 1.6 rating. So the XFL actually did 0.1, a tenth of a point better in the ratings than the Good Guys did. So, yeah, Matt Morgan, you're going to have to go fuck yourself because you're stuck in TNA, that loser-ass company. You're on a TV show. It's going to get fucking canceled quicker than Chris Jericho's downfall. And, yeah, there you go. All right, well, unfortunately, as I go through my point tally here and actual time of possession, it looks like Jeremy talked more than his allotted 30 seconds for pretty much every question. So I guess, Jeremy, you're going to be the one who's cut this round. If you have any quick parting words.
Yeah, I'm not doing the ding. I'm not giving people a satisfaction of hearing the ding. I'm staying on the listen so I don't have to listen to the rest of this at work. So ding, 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 fuckers.
Fair enough. All right, Dusty Giebink, that makes you the winner of Stunt Granny Audio 100, the fucking Around the Horn edition. You get the last word, Dusty.
Only because he's more interesting. I understand. I'm not stupid.
I was trying to get thrown off at first, and then I started.
Yeah, that's what he told me. I didn't have the heart to tell you it was going to be this way the entire time. So.
But, I get last word? Okay. Well, and pretty soon people are going to be coming out here and having a picnic. And they're probably going to be having some hamburgers and potato salad. And they're probably going to be having some hot dogs and some French fries. And the kids are going to be running around and having a good time. And pretty soon the kids are going to get on your nerves. So you're going to throw them in the back dadgum seats and go home. And then you're going to call up your friends and tell them what a real nice time you had at the picnic today. Well, Waylon Mercy likes having a nice time. When he gets to the WWF, he's going to have a real nice time. Know what I mean?
Fucking phenomenal. All right. On that note, I don't know, while the three of us are here, we might as well all sign off. So I'm going to go ahead and call it a night. I'm going to do the paper toss, and here I go. So everybody, peace and chicken grease.
Isn't this the part where we're supposed to talk all over each other, and then he goes, PTI's next or something?
That's it.
All right. Well, I'll say bye. So, bye.
All right. Well, for the long since forgotten Jordan and Kevin, and for Eric and Jeremy, I'm Dusty Giebink. I reign supreme! And we'll try to do better next time.